If you ask someone what's changed about dating in the world of social media or post-pandemic, that answer is going to change depending on who you ask and what their experiences are. And the more we learn about those experiences from different points of view, the better off we are. That's the idea behind a new book from a local author. Culture Shift's Tia Graham is here to tell us more. Hey, Tia.
Hello, Ryan, and it's great to be in studio with you again. Tanisha Bernoni is a Detroiter, a Wayne State grad, and she's getting ready to release her new book this fall. It's called Pimpette Chronicles, a modern Black woman's guide to dating safely and navigating these mean streets. It's a look at what's changed about dating, the dating scene, specifically for Black women and the challenges we've faced. Thank you so much for being here with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Tia.
Awesome. So, you know, jumping into things, talk about your experience as a dating advisor and a little bit about your personal experience when writing this book.
Okay, well, I recently ventured back into the dating scene right before COVID, which was very, very unique, I guess. I consider myself a dating advisor. I do not call myself a dating expert because I don't believe that anyone can be an expert unless they've dated absolutely everyone on the planet. So I like to say advisor. So I have a lot of good advice that I usually give to my friends. So getting back into the dating scene, you know, things had changed, as we all know. And I like to say that I've never had a hard time dating. You know, a lot of Black women say, oh, there's no good men out here, yada, yada. But that has not been my experience. So I wanted to kind of like give some tips on how you can actually date safely and ethically without causing harm to yourself and others.
And what were some of the things that you were noticing when you tiptoed back into the dating scene or around the pandemic, you know, the start of the pandemic? What were some of the things that you were seeing and going, oh?
Well, you know, during the pandemic, I didn't do anything but, you know, virtual dating, which was not very much. But like right after, what I noticed is it felt like people were what I call fast food dating. Mm. You know, they're going and looking at a menu and ordering what they want. So this week I want to date a guy with dreads. Next week I want to date somebody who's bald headed, you know, and so there's this over, you know, assess. So too much of a choice. And so when people have too many choices, they kind of start thinking, you know, that they, how do I put this without being insulted? Like, you know, they think they have more choices than they actually do. So in actuality, you are only going to run into maybe a handful of compatible mates within your life. And so in the book, I kind of try to help guide women so that they don't overlook them and also prepare them for those types of men once they come into their life.
All right. So we're going to jump into the book or talk a little bit about some of the things that you're going to discuss throughout the book. We're going to play the first clip here that you've sent over from the book.
Awesome.
Everyone is talking about being spiritual and doing their inner work, which is wonderful and well overdue to say the least, since we are all in what can only be described as a paradigm shift in how men and women relate to each other, amongst other things. Being proactive instead of reactive is key to navigating safely through these streets. As most of us are learning, the probability of conflict arising between the sexes is more likely than not these days. With that in mind, it has become increasingly important that we protect our peace and only allow men who are positive and nurturing to become and stay a part of our personal lives.
There's so much to break down from that just 48-second clip there. Yes. You know, we talk about, you were talking about the pandemic and self-wellness. Mm-hmm. You saw so many people take that step or the journey into self-wellness mm-hmm. during the pandemic. We had the time to do it. What were some of the things that you were seeing out of the dating world because of the self-journey or the self-discovery journey that was being taken by tons of women, especially Black women?
Well, it's interesting. I feel like Black women in particular have really become empowered. And that is part of, you know, part of the things that I strive for. I feel like the younger generation of women have more options, which is kind of why we're seeing this pushback on birth control or, you know, controlling that type of thing. So that's why that's happening. But yeah, I noticed that we were more self-aware. And as myself, I too am growing, you know, so I've learned a lot of things from younger women, and I've also, you know, shared some of my knowledge with them. So by me being middle age, I feel like I'm at the right age to kind of guide the younger and the older women because I can technically date the daddy or the son. You know, it
is
what it is.
In that weird little spot, that weird little space. I do understand that I'm approaching that space. So I get it. I get it. But, you know, we talk a little bit about the excerpt again and talk about that difference between the generational gap or that difference between dating in the past versus dating right now. What are those differences and similarities?
Well, one of the biggest differences is the fact that women work. You know, we work more. We have our own finances. And a lot of us have, and particularly Black women, we've taken off in terms of education. Because we're more educated, we're actually the most educated group in the United States. It puts us in a very particular weird place, like between who are we going to date? Because the men have not necessarily caught up with us. So a lot of people kind of what we call date down, which I don't believe in down and up personally, but they date people on a different socioeconomic status than themselves. And when you do that, that actually presents a different challenge because, for example, I always say this. If you take someone who's not used to having, you know, abundance of things such as nice clothes, a house and food, and then that relationship doesn't work out and then you want to just thrust them back into that, they're not going to necessarily leave willingly. And so one of the things that I was really concerned about in terms of dating is that while I was writing this book, I did a lot of research and I found out that the second and fourth cause of death for Black women is homicide. That's problematic. So, yeah. And everyone I said, they get the same look you guys have. So, yeah. So I feel like being safe during dating is a conversation that needs to be had. A lot of women aren't really taught that. What do we say? Oh, let somebody know where you're going. That's not good enough. Let's prevent being put into these situations where we have to find a way to get out, where we have to defend ourselves.
And if we can just stay on the lines of this particular topic of safety in dating, safety in dating is something that all women think about, especially Black women. When we're talking about what you just said, you know, just send over a link. Let me know where you are. Right. Or what are some of the topics or some of the things that you may talk about in your book about safety?
I am a big advocate for self-defense. So I believe in, you know, taking little martial art classes and get your CPL. I advise women to get their CPL. A lot of different tips that I put in the book, I don't want to disclose too much, that have, you know, kind of kept me safe during my journey. And, you know, it's just prevention, being mindful. One thing that I do say always is if you're dating or looking at a potential mate, what do they have to lose? Look at that person and find out what do they have to lose. Someone who already is happy and healthy in their life, they're not going to be so quick to, you know, toss that aside because a relationship didn't fail. But if you're the best thing that that person has, they're going to do a lot of things to hold on to you.
What are some of the red flags that you would advise people to look out for?
I always have a weird feeling when people say red flags, but I don't know. It's your first and foremost, I always say, trust your instincts. Like your instincts will never be wrong. So basically, if you feel something weird about that person or you don't feel comfortable with them, that's for a reason. In terms of red flags, I mean, it depends on the situation and the person and whatever. But if someone is constantly, one thing that I will say is if you go out on a date, and the dude is rude to the wait staff, or he's very overly aggressive, that is a sign of things to come, you know, because that person does not feel empowered in their life and they're trying to assert dominance over someone. So if you see that immediately, you move on from there.
Here's what happens to me, and I'm going to bring this back. What it takes me a while to figure out if someone's kind of boring, right? So it's like in that first month, you're like, oh, wow, this person's so interesting. Then you're like 3-4 months in, you're like, wow, I was clouded. My judgment was clouded because I was all dewy-eyed and just sort of into it. And now I'm realizing this person's very boring. And then you're kind of far in. You got to make a decision there. That goes with safety all the time, too. The way someone presents in that first month, down the road, you start seeing these signs of, oh, I don't think this person is who I thought they were, or, oh, I don't like the way they're acting now. The question is this, in that early period of courting, is there a way to like dig deeper or get more to the core of a person so you can kind of avoid those pitfalls down the road?
Again, it goes back to finding out what they have going on in their life. And I kind of break that down step by step in the book that kind of gives you, you know, an indication of specific things to look for. And so, yeah, that is very important that you do, you know, be mindful and you do kind of try to figure out what type of person, you know, background, sometimes what type of family life have they had and how do they speak about it? You know, we can come from a bad background, but we can still be very, you know, good people and healed people. So that doesn't rule them out. But how do they relate to it? How do they express how they felt? So those are very important things. One thing I also say is, especially for men who may have children or women, you know, or anyone who has children, how do they speak about that ex, you know, in relation to that child? So if they are always negative and this person, blah, blah, and you're just getting to know them, that's a red flag, you know, because any man who has children with someone should not speak negatively of the mother of their child. And if they do, that is an indication of something to come.
That's the thing where they're like, oh, this person did me wrong, this person. And then you realize down the road, you're like, I think you might have been the problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. They want to get it off themselves.
Tanisha Vernoni, she is a Wayne State grad and the author of Pipette Chronicles, A Modern Black Woman's Guide to Dating Safely and Navigating These Mean Streets. We're going to jump into the other excerpt that you sent over.
The challenges of seeing oneself as beautiful is not limited to just black women, nor to women of a darker shade of brown. On the contrary, women of all hues often speak of the feelings of inadequacies that they encounter. Some of us may worry about the size of our breasts or our weight, while others struggle with their hair, lips, and even the shape of their legs. As a result, nowadays, many women are flocking to get breast implants, Brazilian butt lifts, nose jobs, or any other procedure that may garner the attention and approval of others. Since cosmetic surgery should be considered extreme, and a last resort, there are other ways to make a sister feel like the queen that she is, and it starts with the inner work mentioned in the previous chapter.
So your book follows so many different themes. We have so many different, you know, bullet points and things that you break down throughout the entire book. Empowering yourself, dating as a parent, intimate partner, violence, which is something else that you go into detail with. And raising the bar, just like we just heard, you know, talk a little bit about empowering yourself and loving yourself and where that what that means and where it begins.
Okay, for sure. It begins with your inner work. You know, like there are so many things that we are taught growing up that, you know, we have to unlearn. And it's a process. And, you know, as we go through our dating journey, you know, we meet different people and those people affect us. And sometimes you have to actually like decompress after dating from someone just to make sure that you don't bring any bad baggage from that past relationship into the new one. So, yeah, it's all about self-improvement, feeling good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself on the inside, you look good on the outside and vice versa. Taking care of yourself, being mindful and just loving and caring to yourself. That's what a lot of people don't do.
And, you know, what would you say to men on the flip side? What would you say to men in this particular process when we're talking about self-love and self-care and loving yourself? What would you say to men?
For men, you know, that's an interesting thing. Women have taken the forefront in getting healed, but men are kind of behind us. And so because they're behind us, it's like, okay, we're healed. We see these signs, but you're not. So who am I going to date?
Let's
you know,
do it. Like,
I'm trying to date you, but you got to catch up. So yes, for men, for one thing, this whole notion that you have to have something wrong with you to get counseling is such a fallacy. Like we need to leave that behind us. We all need a little bit of counseling in this country. I mean, think about how the country was built.
Facts.
For everyone. So we need to heal from that. So I advise men to, you know, seek some therapy, especially if you've had a heartbreak, which 95% of us have, you know, get some therapy on that, talk about that, because they will. And I don't do man bashing. Okay. I hate when people do man bashing. That is not what I'm about. But
Same.
I noticed that men can have one heartbreak and they will blame the rest of the world for the rest of their life. Women don't do that generally.
You know.
Yes.
And so, you know.
These are big sweeping generalizations.
Very true.
They
are.
It's getting a little us versus them here.
Not always. No, we're not doing that. But I'm saying I've noticed in my personal journey that a lot of times, and this, of course, there are always exceptions to the rules, you know.
One thing I will say that I've seen plenty of times. Mm-hmm. Women with the heartbreak, that man comes in, breaks that woman's heart, And then I got to pick up the pieces. It's like I have to make up for the damage that that guy did.
And my question there is, should a person be willing to pick up the pieces? Should they be willing to help that person up out of whatever they are in?
I don't believe in that personally. And again, I'm just an advisor, but I do not fix anybody that's broken. Do not come to me broken. I am not Dr. Phil. You know, get yourself together. Sorry, I probably can't say Dr. Phil. But, but, you know, just get your counseling, pray it out, you know, shout it out, cry it out. Men don't cry, guys. You need to cry sometimes. You know, women cry. We will cry. You don't know we're crying, but we will cry and we'll get over it. But guys have to, you know, they've been taught that they have to hold it in. And again, that goes back to some of these things we need to unlearn. Mm-hmm. So once we unlearn that, we can kind of move past it.
Have you felt less attracted to a man that's cried in front of you?
No.
Mm-hmm. Let me think. It depends on the situation. And I'll be honest, because I'm not a crier. So because I'm not a crier, like, it has to be some serious stuff going on for you to cry. Yeah. But if you're crying about your car getting a dent, no, I don't have any sympathy for you.
Well, you brought up an important thing that I think is key to all of this, which is boundaries. You said, you know, if you're going into a relationship, someone's got that heartbreak and they're looking at you to pick up those pieces. You can still be with that person, but you have to say, I can't do that part.
Right.
And that seems like a pretty essential part of dating and self-care is knowing how to draw a boundary and respect them.
Yeah, people have a hard time, or they think that they're supposed to meet someone to make them get over the last person. And I have been guilty of that in the past as well. Like my friends say I monkey bar through guys, like, oh, just go on to the next one, you know, but that's not necessarily a healthy way of doing it. But what I don't do is I don't talk about the ex to the new person. And that's a red flag. You were talking about red flags. So when they're talking about what someone else did to them, to you, that's where you have to stop that conversation and kind of like, hey, we're not going to do that. You know,
I recently had that happen to me on a date. So
it's the worst. That's the quickest way to not have a second date. Actually,
it is. It's just like, you know, I don't care what she did. I don't. Yes. Tanisha Bernoni, thank you so much for being here. You're speaking about your book that will be released this fall.
Yes.
Pimpette Chronicles, a modern black woman's guide to dating safely and navigating these mean streets. Before you go, tell us the biggest takeaway that you would like people to take away from the book.
Well, the biggest thing about the book is that it is geared towards modern women, modern black women in particular. But I have a lot of non-black friends who have taken sneak peeks and they love it. So it can benefit a lot of people. Yeah. But that is the one thing that makes it unique. We don't get that tailored for us specifically. So this book is really Midwest centered. We look at celebrities and they don't offer us the input and guidance and experience that we need in our environment.
Tanisha Bernoni, the author of Pimette Chronicles, a modern black woman's guide to dating safely and navigating these mean streets. Thank you so much for joining Culture Shift this afternoon. I know Ryan and I enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you for having me.